Los Angeles, California, Hollywood Hills. The year was 2008, and celebrities were living it up just as they had been for decades. Between nightlife, award shows, and parties, stars were rarely at home. This made their less than humble abodes appealing to people coveting that glamorous lifestyle. Obviously, celebs had top-rate security preventing any thefts or break-ins, right?
I'm Jeff Moss.
I'm Tim Coleman.
And I'm Tyler J. Thomas. Together, we will explore and discuss these events from the perspective of over 30 years of combined locksmith and door hardware experience. This is the Three Tumblers.
Now, Keys to the Stars, the Bling Ring Story.
Megan Fox, Orlando Bloom, Lindsay Lohan, and Paris Hilton were all living the Hollywood life in 2008. With blockbuster movies, television roles, and being famous for, well, just being famous, these stars all shared more than just the public spotlight. They were targets in one of the most brazen and publicized burglary rings in modern history. Rachel Lee looked like your typical 16-year-old high school student from Calabasas. Dark hair, tan complexion, and an attitude to match, she could have been the star of her own teen drama series. So much attitude, in fact, it got her kicked out of the public school and landed her in an alternative high school. But that didn't stop her dreams of being a star. 15-year-old Nicholas "Nick" Prugo was moved to Calabasas by his parents. Like a lot of kids his age, living in SoCal, he tried his hand at acting, appearing in the Nickelodeon show Zoe 101 and some made-for-television show about demon-possessed kids. At any rate, he got kicked out of Calabasas High School because apparently he didn't really want to show up. So he got transferred over to Indian Hills, where Rachel Lee also happened to attend. When Nick met Rachel, she was everything he wanted to be. She quickly took him under her wing, and soon, the two were thick as thieves and started partying together. They graduated in 2008, Rachel with a scholarship in creative arts, and Nick was looking forward to a career of asking people if they would like fries with their burger. After one night of partying, Rachel and Nick were too drunk and high to drive, so they started walking down the street, pulling on car door handles, seeing if any of them were unlocked. Much to their surprise, they found one that wasn't. After quickly snatching cash and credit cards from a purse left inside, the two went on a shopping spree the next day. One night, while walking the streets checking for unlocked cars, the dynamic duo stumbled across a Porsche that was wide open. Rachel decided she wanted to take it for a spin, so as she cranked the engine, Nick hopped in and they took off for a joyride. Not wanting their fun to end, they yanked a paper dealer plate off another car, slapped it on the Porsche, and then they didn't care if a cop got behind them. After days of riding around and even driving the stolen car to school, their cash ran out, but neither of them were done living like stars. Fortunately for Rachel and Nick, the Hollywood Hills were minutes away.
This isn't all that uncommon for people to leave their cars unlocked or even to leave the keys in there because, I mean, that's part of the reason for the recent uptick in automobile thefts. That's why it's on the rise again. I will say that there are people out there that believe that if a criminal wants to get into your car, they're going to do whatever it takes, including breaking the windows. So there's always been sort of a set of people that think, you know what, I'm just going to leave my car unlocked because if they want to get in, they're going to get in. So let's try to reduce the damage as much as possible. No excuse, though, for leaving keys in the car. That's just plainly stupid.
Yeah, and I mean, we read about it almost every day here. Car was broken into, keys were in it. They used the remote to get the other key out of the garage, got ripped off on replacing all the locks in the house. Like, it's a domino effect of things that happen after, because you didn't take 30 seconds to lock your car door. Having to replace laptops, having to replace other stuff. It's just stupidity, honestly. It literally takes 2 seconds to lock your car.
Yeah, car thefts and break-ins are on the rise. They are usually committed for quick cash, so people can fuel a drug addiction. And in the past few years, we've seen trucks targeted more than cars, just because of the thought that handguns are more present in pickup trucks than they are a passenger car, a sedan. Locking your car does take literally 2 seconds. Lock it, set the alarm. That's it. These people driving these expensive cars in the Hollywood Hills, either they have enough money and insurance, they don't worry about it, or they are, like you said, Jeff, just plain stupid. May 31st, 2000, U.S. television series Survivor premieres. This is the beginning of reality TV in the States. In 2003, friends Chris, John, and Tom get together and start MySpace, the world's first true social media website. In March of 2006, Noah, Biz, Evan, and Jack Dorsey create Twitter. Soon after, both platforms are being used by celebrities to post everything from upcoming projects and shows to what they ate for lunch that day. Some even use the platforms to advertise when and where they would be. Google Earth was another popular resource on the thing only the nerds talked about a few years before, called the Internet. Bosom buddies Rachel and Nick started scrolling through the browser one night and see that an old friend of Nick's is on a trip to Jamaica. Of course, the couple of kleptomaniacs hop in the car and go to the guy's house. After tossing the place for valuables, they find a sentry safe in the parents' bedroom. Of course, it wasn't locked, and inside were thousands in cash. Rachel was obsessed with the reality television shows that were taking up nearly every minute of airtime, and deeply envied the style and glamour of celebrities' personal lives. The two decided that none other than Paris Hilton should be their next target. A quick check on MySpace and gossip websites told them Paris would be in Miami in October 2008. Nick did a simple search online and found her address, then used Google Earth to figure out the best way in. Beverly Hills is full of gated communities, and the guards actually check to see if you're on the list before letting you in. So Rachel and Nick figure it was better to come in from the other side of the canyon, hike up a fire road, and then casually walk up to the front door. They even rang the bell a few times, and after nobody answered, Rachel tried opening the door. They were shocked when it actually opened. After going on a self-guided shopping tour, the two made out like bandits with almost $50,000 worth of stuff. All thanks to the internet, two kids with expensive tastes, and someone forgetting to lock the front door. Locks are there for a reason, people. Use them. I mean, okay, just throw that deadbolt. Throw the lock on your lever if you have one. Whatever you have, use it. And apparently Paris Hilton couldn't be bothered with that. Maybe it wasn't her. Maybe it was one of her assistants. But locks are there to slow criminals down, make them work harder to steal your stuff. The harder that a thief has to work in order to get inside your house and take your things and your money and whatever else they want in there, the longer they have to work for it, the less likely they are to go through with it. Also, I would like to note, sentry safes are not safes. They are fire-resistant locking containers. You should never trust anything of any value inside of those containers.
I wish we could say that the Bling Ring story was based on people that were amazing lock pickers, or they discovered some new tool or vulnerability or bypass. No, they didn't. They just went in, unlocked houses or houses that left keys under the mats and all of that. But what I will say that's pretty ingenious is their use of online tools to pretty much case a target, find out when they weren't going to be there, find best ways to access the premises. We joked about it years ago on our social media pages, our personal social media pages, when people would post pictures, for example, when they bought a new house, they would show their keys off. That's a bad social media practice because, you know, somebody nefarious like Nick or whomever could easily decode that, figure out the key, look up where you live, go to your address, they'd have a key to get in. So what we're seeing now is kind of the first use of social media for bad. One of the most notorious examples of using social media for bad things. But it was just, I'm impressed how well they used it to help with their burglaries.
Yeah, and people talk about operational security and all that kind of stuff and like posting a picture and trying to challenge people like from what's in the background if they can find out where they are. And like people are making this stuff so damn easy. And maybe that is the school of thought for some of these people. Well, I'll just leave my car open because if they're going to take it, then they won't smash anything. Well, guess what? They might smash it anyway. There's no knowing. Do you think they're going to check the door to see if it's unlocked? Probably not. They're going to take a baseball bat, make a mess. And the car wasn't even locked to begin with. You know, I've seen vehicles where the columns are torn apart. And, you know, that was a thing back in the day. And it sort of resurfaced in a different way with the Kias and the Hyundais. Criminals are not smart. You also have to do a little bit of work. Don't tell people, yeah, I'm going on vacation for 6 months and my house is going to be empty.
Nick, now 18 and out of school, becomes friends with Tess Taylor, who is the adopted sister and best friend of Alexis Nyers. The girls are trying everything they can to move up in the Hollywood lifestyle, including lingerie photo shoots and as background scenery for a Marilyn Manson music video. Despite being under 18, the girls are getting out and around town. Desperate for attention as always, Nick makes friends with the girls and soon invites them to join he and Rachel on another burglary. Although Rachel didn't really want them there, she gave them the benefit of the doubt because Nick liked them. So they decided to go back to their personal ATM, the home of Paris Hilton. This time, though, someone had remembered to actually lock the door. Fortunately for the bunch of burglars, someone was also thoughtful enough to leave a key under the doormat. Soon, Rachel and Nick realized that in order to keep up their lifestyle, along with their new buddies, a lot more than loose cash and jewelry needed to come out of Paris's house. But the gang were smart enough to know that doing the job themselves meant a higher chance of getting caught. Enter Roy Lopez Jr. Another friend of Nick's was Courtney Ames. They knew each other from the club scene and often partied together. She was dating convicted drug trafficker Johnny Ajar, who worked at Club Ledoux. Johnny's buddy Roy was the perfect fit for doing the big one at Paris Hilton's house. Nick drew him a map, gave him the layout, and handed him the key to the house. Using that key that had been left under the mat, Roy cleaned out Paris's safe, taking about $2 million worth of jewels and cash.
So, I mean, personally, I'm shocked that they didn't have security on site, alarms, any of that stuff. Literally just like any other person leaving a key under the mat. That's just sort of shocking. You know, you'd think that people would know better. And it just goes to show you that just because you have money doesn't mean you know what you're doing with it.
I actually asked a locksmith who's located in Southern California what kind of typical lock cylinder that you see in the Hollywood Hills area. And he said that most houses there have Medico, Multilock, or Schlage Primus. So getting a copy of these keys is difficult by design. Obviously, they're restricted. You have to go someplace. You have to verify your identity to get those copies made. So I can kind of see how, for a celebrity, it would be a little bit inconvenient, but come on now. Leaving a copy of your key under the mat? We live, even back in 2008, there were electronic deadbolts. Get something like that to put on a side door so that your friends, your employees, whoever you have coming into your house on a regular basis can enter, but they don't have a copy of the key to your freaking house.
Yeah, and I suppose if you had to leave the key outside of the house, you would probably pick a better spot, because we all know to look underneath the doormat for the key first. But they make stuff like key safes where, you know, it looks like a rock, or it looks like something else that blends in with the landscape or the yard, something like that. Still not a good idea, but, you know, it's certainly better than leaving it under the doormat.
Yeah, it's sort of like when you go into you're servicing an alarm panel or access control, or everybody, you always, you know, if you don't have a key, just look on top of the can. Everybody puts it there. Burglars are always going to look under the floor mat. People are going to always look under your keyboard for your passwords on a post-it note. You know, people are creatures of habit.
The Los Angeles Police Department gets over 200-459, or burglary, calls every day in 2008. Most don't even make it to the news. But when LAPD Unit 9 Adam 94 responded to the house at Clarendon Road, the news hits within hours. When Nick saw the gossip websites, he knew that things had just gotten real and they had lost their cash cow. He didn't worry about getting caught. After all, someone else did it. What he was worried about was getting more money and apparel so that he could maintain his rich kid persona. Rachel agrees and sets her sights on Audrina Patridge, star of MTV's The Hills. Since her house was the actual filming location of The Hills, viewers were familiar with its layout just from watching the show. On February 22, 2009, Rachel and Nick rolled up to the house on Bryn Mawr Drive and started their routine of ringing the doorbell. They knew from social media and gossip websites that Audrina was going to be out partying most of the night after the Oscars, so they weren't surprised when no one answered. After checking several doors and windows, they found a back sliding glass door that was completely unlocked. They left a short time later with about $43,000 worth of gift bag swag. When Miss Patridge finally got home at 1 a.m., she discovered that her Louis Vuitton suitcase was missing, along with the contents of her jewelry box. She called the cops, and after the Hollywood Division 6 Adam 15 arrives on the scene, she turns over security camera footage showing the suspects taking her stuff. Seeing that the two burglars appear to be young, investigators decide to release the footage to the media, including celebrity gossip websites, hoping that someone would recognize the guy and girl in the video. As soon as Nick sees the video of what he and his best friend did, his stomach drops to the seat of his pants. Anxiety plagues him, and he can't sleep, can't sit still, and jumps to look out the window every time he hears a car outside. Fortunately for Nick, news fades fast, and the story is old in just a few days.
Yeah, just a little physical security 101. Cameras cannot stop or resist a burglary. What they're effective at is, number one, being a deterrent. You know, if somebody sees a camera, well, maybe find a house that doesn't have a camera. Number two, they can be used to solve burglaries and crimes, stuff like that, which is what the police are trying to do here. They being the Bling Ring, knew that there was cameras at this location, and they made an attempt to shield their face and did pretty well, but you could still see you were dealing with a male and a female, younger, just based off the way they dress. So little physical security 101 with regards to home cameras, and if you don't have one, get them, because they're very cheap right now.
Yeah, I mean, the consumerization of a lot of this stuff has made the Ring doorbell cameras very affordable, and integration with garage door openers and things like that, a lot simpler now than it used to be. But, you know, still, see the police department posting, 9 o'clock routine, lock your doors, turn your lights on, you know, make sure your outside lights are on, lock your car, make sure everything is... I mean, these things also can happen in the middle of the day, but like we said in the last, criminals, you know, don't like noise, and they don't like things taking a lot of time. So don't give them the opportunity is the bottom line.
I'd like to say that sliding door latching issues are a very common request for work from locksmiths. People will call and say, hey, my sliding door isn't locking. Can you come out here and fix it? So a lot of times it has to do with the location of the strike or the little piece on the frame of the door that the lock actually hooks into. Sliding doors are kind of a bane of my professional career, but I've learned how to fix them. And it's normally a pretty easy fix. But even if you're having those issues, you can also supplement your sliding glass doors with something called a Charlie bar, or you can even simply take down an old broom handle, cut it down to the size that is needed, and lay it in the track of the sliding glass door. That will prevent people from walking up, trying your door, and seeing that it slides wide open.
The two sticky-fingered filchers just can't help themselves when they learn that star of the OC, Rachel Bilson, is going to be in New York City for a fashion event in May of 2009. The night they plan to break into the star's home, Nick and Rachel are out partying hard. On the way to their mark, Nick sees red and blue lights in his mirrors and realizes he's getting pulled over. He does a little coke before the officer gets up to the window, so he seems sober. The officer lets him off with a warning, and the two are back on their way to commit another felony. The Spanish-style villa near Los Feliz in Vermont, once owned by TV star Noah Wiley, was locked up tight, with the exception of a window. Once inside, the pair find the bedroom, and Rachel Lee's eyes light up. Chanel bags galore. When Bilson calls the cops and 11 Union 42 responds, they find evidence of the burglary and of someone having used the toilet at around the same time. The capers continue, and Alexis starts spending more time with Nick since she feels her mom is overbearing. She even wants to go with Nick and Rachel on some more shopping trips. Although Nick didn't want to because Rachel didn't really like Alexis, Nick didn't want to lose Alexis as a friend, so he talked them both into Alexis going, and Tess too. If this sounds like a lot of high school drama, it was. Orlando Bloom, Mr. Legolas and William Turner himself, was off filming some movie you don't even remember in July of 2009. His live-in girlfriend at the time, Miranda Kerr, was also out of town, and the gang knew this because of the gossip sites and tweets. Not wanting a repeat anxiety attack that the Bilson heist gave them, Rachel, Nick, Alexis, and some friend of Rachel's named Diana Tamayo decide to wear their designer hoodies and walk backwards towards the cameras at Orlando's pad. After jumping the fence and finding an unlocked sliding door, they went to town on the place. They stole clothes, jewelry, cash, and Orlando's vintage Rolex collection. Hollywood Division 6 Adam 25 responds to the 459 at the home of the man who almost caught Captain Jack Sparrow and quickly realized that they had a bunch of burglars with a very specific type on their hands.
Here we go again. Another sliding glass door issue, whether there was an actual issue with the locking mechanism, strike mechanism, or if they just didn't care enough to lock it because they figured, oh, nobody can hop the fence. Well, maybe your fence needs to be higher. I know that if I were a celebrity, then the fence around my house would be very high. So in a few years when this podcast is really big, I'm going to have like a 12-foot fence built around my house.
It was incredible as we researched this story, how often doors were left unlocked. Like, I can't ever recall them saying, we went up to one house and everything was locked and we just walked and turned away because we couldn't get in. No, they always get in somehow because something's always unlocked or there's a key available to them. So it just baffles me that they run through this sort of who's who list of targets, celebrities, and they never have a problem getting in. and never have to do anything drastic like kicking in a door or breaking a window or anything like that. That's just incredible to me.
Yeah, and shame on these guards in these gated communities for letting these idiots in, not doing their jobs very well.
Through some Hollywood fortune, Alexis Nyers and her mother and sisters landed a spot to film a pilot for a reality TV show. The premise and plot were about as thick as single-ply toilet paper, but the girls were excited to have their moment nonetheless. Since fortune and fame were seemingly inevitable for Alexis, she told Nick that she didn't want to participate in their little outings anymore, so as to not tarnish her on-screen reputation as being a spoiled brat. Nick figures that he and Rachel can have one last big go at things in order to keep his style that he's used to now. Their next target, Lindsay Lohan. The Disney starlet from Long Island had struck it big on the silver screen by being a mean girl. Fame and fortune had led Lindsay down the path of partying all night, and the entire world can see it on the internet. Nick, Rachel, and Diana find Lohan's home near Beechwood Drive, just south of the Hollywood Reservoir. A perimeter gate has been left open, and soon the gang find an unlocked second floor window. They give Diana a boost up and through the window. Minutes later, she opens the front door for the other two. Nick was awestruck. He had never seen so much stuff. They cram everything from clothes to cash into Nick's car and drive away. 6 Adam 26 from the Hollywood division makes the initial response and quickly calls in detectives. Within hours, the break-in makes news across the world. The LAPD also puts out the word that they believe the same people who ripped off Audrina Patridge committed this crime. Feeling the walls close in, Nick moves all of the hot merchandise he has to a storage unit owned by his grandma. Rachel hightails it back to Las Vegas with her dad, and Alexis and Tess see the trouble they could land in, so they decide to try and make it go away by making a phone call to investigators and rat out Nick as being the mastermind of the now so-called Bling Ring.
Yeah, I mean, eventually they're going to get caught, and it seems like that's finally happening, but they've stolen so much stuff, and, you know, Los Angeles being so big, you know, the police department isn't just sitting there waiting for something to happen, and they probably don't have the resources to stake these places out. You know, in a smaller community where you don't have as much to do, you can do that, and probably wouldn't have gotten as far. So I think that that's, you know, they were preying on the fact that, you know, the police were going to be too busy with other things, and they could sneak in and sneak out quickly. And you have to realize at some point it's going to come to an end, but, you know, they were living pretty high.
A lot of people don't consider their second floor openings as being really important, but they should. I mean, even if you have a second floor, you should still lock the windows. You should still make sure that any balcony doors are closed and locked. And just to help curtail or, again, make it harder for thieves to get into your house to take your stuff, don't leave any ladders sitting around. Don't have anything around the outside of your house that could help them actually get in. Put all those things away. Lock them in a shed. Lock them in your basement. But make your house as hard and difficult to get into as possible. These stars just didn't do that. They figured that people were taking care of that sort of thing for them, and they just trusted that it wouldn't happen. I bet they rethought that trust after they were victimized.
Happened to some neighbors several years ago. They had a ladder being stored out back, and somebody helped themselves to it and went up into the inside of their house, second floor.
And what's crazy, too, is these were all pretty well publicized, starting with Paris Hilton and Audrina Patridge on her way down to now Lindsay Lohan. You would have figured that she would have, or her people would have noticed, hey, people around here that are famous are getting burglarized. Let's start locking things, or let's start checking security, or let's call a locksmith or somebody to add some security. No. I mean, even though it's worldwide news, they don't change anything. They don't change their habits. So that's just crazy to me.
Like you said, you would think that their security people would be doing a better job, especially people that are getting paid quite a bit of money.
September 2009. Nick Prugo's mom walks into his room and shoves a phone at him. He barely gets the word hello out of his mouth when a detective orders him to come out of the house with his hands up. He's cuffed, patted down, and transported to the Hollywood Division office, where he's questioned by Detective Brett Goodkin. Nick doesn't give up and keeps his mouth shut. After making bail, his mom and dad sit him down with a lawyer they think will be good for him. While Nick thinks the guy probably knows his stuff, he wants someone who is stylish, flashy, and has a great jawline. That's when he hires Sean Ehrenstoft. After several rounds of sushi and sake, Sean tells Nick not to worry and to keep his mouth shut until he works something out. Ehrenstoft has a chit-chat with Detective Goodkin, shakes his hand, then turns around and tells Nick to come down to the police station, and that if he tells the cops everything, he'll be okay. So Nick, who's scared out of his wits at this time, agrees and runs to the cops as fast as he can, where he sings like a little bird. Much to Nick's detriment, Sean had such great faith in a handshake, he didn't feel the need to get anything in writing before having his client confess and rat out his friends. At the time, Nick didn't realize investigators had precious little to go on connecting all of the crimes. Now, they knew about crimes they didn't even realize had been committed. Thinking they're in the clear because they put the detective spotlight on Nick, Alexis and Tess, along with mom Andrea and sister Gabby, started filming their reality television show. After one taping, the producers were wondering just exactly what the show would be about in order to carry it through a full season. That answer came in the form of detectives serving a search warrant on the house. After finding stolen items, Alexis was taken into custody and questioned by investigators. The press and paparazzi all covered her being bailed out thanks to her mom and the producers feeling it would be good for the show. Quickly, the leads are tied up and the rest of the bling ring is arrested. The media coverage of all the court proceedings is worldwide again. Despite attempts by Alexis and Nick to save face in the spotlight, it only winds up hurting them.
As stupid as it is to leave your house unlocked or keys under the mat, it is equally stupid to negotiate a deal and not get it in writing. Yeah, I can't believe this. The lawyer dropped the ball here. Even knowing what I know now, which is not a lot about law, I would still insist on having something in writing before I would, you know, tell all the details, because once the cat's out of the bag, there's no going back. Bad call, but then again, Nick's young, and I'm sure I would have been that naive and trustful at that age as well.
Yeah, and like I said, the house of cards is soon to crumble, and can't run these things forever and not think that you're going to get caught. And it just seems like the whole thing was very sloppy. From the lawyer, you know, they found the ambulance chasing type of lawyer, kind of got screwed, you know. And that's like the, I'd say, like the fast talking Lionel Hutz of criminal defense. Oh yeah, everything will be okay, while he's, you know, got his fingers crossed and behind his back and stuff like that. You know, the type of lawyer that gives lawyers a bad name. Just going to go tell the police everything. Oh yeah, yeah, everything will be fine. Again, he was young, didn't realize the consequences of what they had done. That stuff has real life adult consequences.
Yeah, like y'all have said, what lawyer advises their client to actually talk to the cops? And I say that as a guy who was a cop for 15 years. Even if you're innocent, you don't talk to the cops because you can talk yourself into a charge really quick. The producers of the reality show for Alexis they were instrumental in making all the publicity out of this. They had to have, even though they denied it, they had to have had a hand in getting the paparazzi outside of the police station when she bailed out, just to try to promote the show, maybe, or maybe because they thought it would generate some sort of income. In regardless of their motivation for it, they amped up the situation, and is yet another just another bit of evidence as to how fake the reality entertainment business is.
Alexis Nyers agrees to plead no contest for her involvement in the burglaries. She serves 180 days in the Los Angeles County Jail, 3 years probation, and is ordered to pay restitution. While she maintains she had a very small part in the crimes, the media portray her as the public face of the burglar bunch. She also enters rehab for a heroin addiction, and her reality show is canceled after 9 episodes. She marries Evan Haynes in 2012 and has 2 children with him before divorcing in 2021. She is now an addiction recovery counselor. On October 26, 2011, Rachel Lee was sentenced after pleading no contest in the Adrena Patridge case. All other charges against her were dismissed. She was sentenced to 4 years in prison, but got out after serving 1 year and 4 months. Chief investigator on the case, Brett Goodkin, went to work for Sofia Coppola's film about the heists. As a paid consultant, he even got credited screen time. Brett didn't mention to his supervisors or the prosecutors about his little role, and since the case was still in the court system, it was an obvious conflict of interest. Prosecutors agreed that their main detective couldn't be brought to trial, and so they worked deals with the lawyers of Rory Lopez, Courtney Ames, and Diana Tomeo, each of whom pleaded no contest and got off with light sentences. Nicholas Prugo made some decisions that most lawyers consider to be quite stupid leading up to his day in court, like having paparazzi follow him around town and appearing on Good Morning America with George Stephanopoulos. After realizing that the deal his lawyer made was non-existent, he fired Sean Ehrenstoft and got an attorney that didn't quite have the same jawline, but was a lot better at his job, proving that looks aren't everything. He pled no contest and received a sentence of 2 years, but got out on probation after just 1. Nick married his husband, Swedish native Per Norgo, in November of 2017. They now run an online skincare company together.
Executive producer is Tyler J. Thomas. Technical producer is Jeff Moss. Writer and editor is Tim Coleman.
For source materials, see our website, freetumblers.com. Get this episode and others wherever you get your podcasts.
This has been a Three Tumblers production. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.